Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, showtime, people.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh yeah, people. Special Thursday night edition. Showtime.
It is showtime.
I'm with it.
Yes, sir.
We coming to you from across the country. We got Atlanta in the house, Portland in the house. Andre, where are you?
I'm in Atlanta. I'm in the A.
All right. And we got H-Town in the house.
Okay.
We spread H-Town out all over the country, covering all regions for you all tonight.
Lou is joining in from Jersey as well, too. So we got Jersey coming in as well, sounds like.
All right. We got the Northeast covered. We got Jersey covered. All right. We like it.
Nice.
Hey, are we on Zoom tonight, gentlemen?
We are on Zoom. It never changes, man. So, again, just all you guys click on the link,
okay,
man, and I send that to you. So, apparently,
I never get the link
to do that. Oh. Well, Lou, like I said, you know, we haven't quite get you let me know. I can send that to you sometime, too, man. So, again, this is what we do. If you want to see your boys, mm-hmm, we're just definitely.
Or then again, man, I'm just throw off on audio. I don't look good on camera anyway.
It's all good. It's all good. We're having fun, man.
Okay.
Making sure that Rob is able to join too, because I don't know what Rob. You got some technical difficulties, man? Or are you good, man? With the Zoom?
I'm about to try to join in, man. I got my throwback Michael Jordan North Carolina jersey on for y'all.
You don't want to see that.
UNC,
I
baby.
I got my Golden State representing Golden State, man. So it's all
fun. Did I just see you with a Hawk hat on last week?
Hey, man, I got my team from the West Coast and team from the East Coast, man. You know, I can do it all, man. So I got that's what we do, man. What we do. Having fun.
You don't know who your team is, huh?
I do know. Man, you got teams across, like, you got, like, five different teams too, Rob, so I don't want to hear it, bro. I'm just saying.
Not the same sport.
Yeah, Rob, you got, like, eight teams in baseball, bro. You got the Giants and the Dodgers and the Yankees. You got a lot of baseball teams.
I'm a Yankee fan.
You got a picture of your Giants jersey on the website.
Huh?
That's true.
I said you got a picture in a Giants jersey on the 12th Man website.
I'm going to next 48 hours, they'll have Facebook.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's just because I like the colors.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know.
I'm a Yankee.
Yeah, you know. See, you can't.
That black and orange
is
do it for you? I like it. That black and orange is hot.
There you go, see?
I like squads, too. So, again, that's the same thing. How come I can't like certain squads? You know what I'm saying? So, that's what we do, man. So, we're having some fun here talking sports.
I don't know why I can't get to the Zoom.
I'll send you one more link, and then we'll go from there, too. So, Gary, are you guys able to join, too, as well? Or no?
Can you see me now? Look at how pretty I am.
Oh, man.
The media password is 960-643 if you're checking.
A lie, I don't care who tells it.
So, again, hopefully we'll get everybody in this. While we're waiting for everyone to join in on an awesome edition of Talking Sports the 12th Man, I am, as always, going to set the stage, as we always do, each and every time. I know we're coming to you guys on a Thursday night. Wednesday got a little crazy, and we're trying to accommodate our co-host, because apparently, I don't know if he has – get up early as well, but let's have some fun. Number to call to the show, as always, it's the same number as always, 424-243-9519, always. Same number, 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And the last one, at least, you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man. You will find us in that arena as well. And, yes, I'm pretty sure Robert has some type of asparagus in his life, too, so just making sure everyone knows about that for dinner too. So we are having fun with that.
Asparagus and asparagus.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what's happening with that. Uh-huh. Like you said, we're gonna jump into this party here.
Again, we're waiting for you guys to have some fun. And a lot of things have happened. We are going to keep it sports related. We'll kind of add some different narrative as far as what's happening in the nation, too. But let's start this off. And, if the Browns miss the playoffs, is the first thing we're going to kick off. Is this the end of Baker Mayfield with the Browns? This is really like hard hitting out the gate, too. So, Rob, how do you want to start this off, man?
Well, I don't think so, just quite yet. I think this is a four-year run, at least for Baker Mayfield. He's already got two down right now. So I'm not going to say this is a make-or-break season. If they miss the playoffs this season, I think next season will be the make-or-break season for the Cleveland Browns. And we got to realize, too, he's got another head coach again. When you really look at this situation here, he's had a different head coach in both his first two seasons, albeit his head coach this past season was his offensive coordinator in his first season. But, you know, he's getting Kevin Stefanski, and this is going to be his third head coach in three seasons. So you got to give him that opportunity. But I think if he misses the playoffs this season, I think he gets one more year. You know, he did start as a rookie, too. You got to keep that in mind as well. I think he will get one more year unless he has some kind of behavior issue that just sets him back tremendously. But I think the Browns will be right there on the hunt for the playoffs this year. I really do. But if for some reason they don't make it, then I think they're going to give him one more chance to be that guy. You spent the number one draft pick on this guy. They're going to try to give him every opportunity to succeed. They're going to put the twos around them, which they are. When you look at the weapons they put around them from a wide receiver standpoint, from a tight end standpoint, from the running back standpoint, the investments they've made in the offensive line, they're doing all they can to help Baker Mayfield succeed. So I firmly believe you invested the number one draft choice on them, you're going to give him at least that fourth year to succeed if he doesn't have that success this year.
I agree. And we go back, we talk about that long litany of Cleveland quarterbacks where they just can't get right. And I believe they feel like he's that guy that he just needs to get. Like you said, he's gone through some changes in the head coach and in the front office. What I also worry about, for him, is I don't know the terms of his contract, but if he doesn't have a good year this year, what do they do in terms of going ahead and exercising that fifth-year extension, you know, where you actually get that big money on that rookie contract deal? So that it's more so for him, contract-wise, money-wise, that if he has a bad season, they may opt to decline his extension year and make him play out that contract and prove it, as opposed to getting that fifth-year guaranteed at a higher salary. So for him, he's got a lot riding on this year in terms of what he can do and make or break it. But I'm with you. They've given him every opportunity to succeed. Beefed up the defense, beefed up the offense. They say, you know, this is your show. So this is make or break for Baker, but I think it's more so for him financially than it is for him in terms of being cut or traded or something like that. I still think they'll let him play out his contract, but he definitely wants to pick up that fifth-year extension, as all players do, because that's where you get that extra money on the end of that contract.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield and – you know, we're in a season that has a bunch of unknowns and questions. But Cleveland, they are stacked with the weapons that he has. And they even filled up their offensive line a little bit. He's got two tight ends. He's got two superstar receivers. He's got a superstar, two superstar running backs. If he buttons up and gets his act together, they got a lot of offensive firepower. And he should take advantage of that. But like you just started, what you just said, him having, you know, this pandemic, when are they going to get it together? How focused are they going to be able to be? How much practice time are they going to be able to get? And, you know, the thing about the preseason that everybody misses, and I tell everybody, preseason is for the guys trying to make that 50-man, trying to get a job in the NFL, trying to make that 53-man roster. That's a big deal. And coaches need to see these guys in that kind of competition to know what kind of players they got. And that's a big deal. People want to poo-poo the preseason, but the preseason is for people trying to get a job. And right. It is very important for the guys on those teams to really shine in those preseason games and get ready for a season. And, you know, so because of the pandemic, the change in coaches, and the scenery, there's a lot of unknowns there. But I also want to talk about the team. Baltimore looks like, I'm hearing on the radio, that Baltimore absolutely could maybe be a 16-0 team this year.
Yeah, hell.
Baltimore does not go more than 6,000 miles away. The farthest they go west is Houston, Texas. All their games are within, and they got Kansas City coming there. They got the best AFC teams coming there to Baltimore, to their home stadium. And they, okay, the difference is I'm hearing that Baltimore is only going 6,000 miles this football season. Seattle's going 30,000 miles this season. That really favors Baltimore. Can really, yeah, that can really make a big difference.
Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, that's a good point. When you talk about the Ravens this year, I mean, they could very easily finish the season just like they did last season with the best record in the league, but does that mean they'll win the Super Bowl? I still think the Chiefs are, you know, on paper the favorite to repeat, but it could very well go down very similar to what we saw last year where the Ravens end up with the best record, but the Chiefs somehow be that team that gets back to the Super Bowl. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a proven winner. Obviously, and we haven't seen that from Lamar Jackson yet in the playoffs. But I'm not going to say 16-0, no way. But I could see them. I could see them going.
No, but I don't think.
I can see 13-3 to 15-1 somewhere in that window for the Ravens. But I definitely don't see a 16-0 season.
They still got to play the Chiefs. So you're basically saying they're going to beat the Chiefs and stay undefeated. That's
no. That's not going to happen. Where are they playing against? Where are they playing at? Well, we don't know where they're playing at right now. Dr. Fauci just announced that the NFL said put together a bubble like the NBA is doing. So they may be all playing in one city like the NBA based on what Dr. Fauci is saying.
Wow. That's going to suck.
And that's a tough division. And Pittsburgh, they're going to be real curious what kind of team they're going to be able to field. And is Ben Roethlisberger, is he going to fall off a cliff? Is he going to fall off the cliff? You know, Pittsburgh, I believe in Tomlin.
Tomlin.
And Pittsburgh got that legacy. And I think their defense is going to be really tough. But one thing I wonder why Pittsburgh is not – giving Cam Newton a try. I think Cam Newton could be a better quarterback than the two backup quarterbacks they already have. And if Big Roethlisberger does not make it through a season, and then they have Cam Newton in the backfield, I don't think they drop off too much.
Well, I think I think when you look at the Cam Newton situation here, I think we're still waiting to see what's going to happen, you know, from injury and, you know, health standpoint. I would think by now teams should be able to start bringing them in and, you know, starting to, you know, get some kind of health evaluation of Cam Newton by now at this point where a lot of cities are opening up. But, you know, I know a good portion of the Northeast and the Midwest are still not open yet. But yeah, I would think by now, you know, teams at this point should be starting to get a good look at Cam Newton to see how healthy he is and see if there may be some interest there. But I still think that that's what it's going to take for a team to sign him, though.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I think it's going to – if Mayfield doesn't perform this year, I think he's gone. He's had his chances. I mean, I think the Browns have been very impatient with him, so if he doesn't do well this year, I think he's gone. And like you said, am I going to see Owen – we're going to see Owen 16? No. But I think it's going to – I don't think it's going to be, you know, a bunch of a winning record either. So if he doesn't do well this season, I think you can kiss him goodbye.
Wow. You think he's not going to – you think he's like, this is it, huh, Lou? You think this is it, huh? This is the last season, huh?
If he doesn't do well, no.
Wow. I like it. Yeah, I mean, like I said.
Oh,
so
good.
Got,
I thought
you were going to
say,
like, you're
a freaking mind.
Yeah. you give him, like, he's gone through a couple different you're not giving the benefit out of having different coaches, different, you know. Okay.
Right.
He's got a lot of weapons, man. That's a pretty – talented team the Browns have, too. So I can see that actually happening, Lou, too. So it's just like, you know, you've been in the league long enough. So, again, let's see how this plays out, man. All right, let's move forward here. And how many wins will the Chargers have this season? I'm going to start off with Lou here. How many wins do you think Chargers are going to have?
The Chargers?
The Chargers.
Oh, boy. Three.
Wow.
And I'm being kind.
Only three. Wow. Rob
the Chargers, you know.
Three.
Yeah,
wow.
That is.
That's how many Lou said, three wins?
I said three.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
I tell you what, when you look at this Prime Chargers number. Team, to me the roster is still very talented. When you look at the defensive line, when you look at the secondary, when you look at some of the skill position players, to me, I think you still have a talented roster, but the question mark is going to be quarterback position. Are you going to start a rookie in Justin Herbert, who has the talent, but he's not a quick decision maker at the quarterback position? So can he get that down pack here, and will he have a down pack in the rookie season? I don't think so. Or do you go with a veteran journeyman and Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position? So when I look at this Chargers team, I see a 6-10 and 7-9 team because of the question marks at the quarterback position. Not so much from the question marks on a roster, but it's really more so the question mark at the quarterback position. 8 wins at the most, but I see a 6-10 or a 7-9 team just because of the question marks at the quarterback position here.
Well, and I'm going to go more than 3 because that defense, I think, is going to be a lot better than you give them credit for. Melvin Ingram and Bosa.
Bringing
the kid back that they got from Florida State. He's going to probably play in safety. He's going to play the whole year. You still got Hunter Henry. You know, they re-signed Austin Eckler, and that's the quarterback's best friend is a check down to a running back who can catch the ball and make a play after it. He can turn a 3-yard pass into a 15-yard gain. And Austin Eckler, I think, can do that on a more regular basis. So I think that I would give the Chargers a little bit more credit than that in terms of 3 wins. That division's going to be tough, but I think that defense is going to be good as well. I just don't think there'll be a playoff team because of what we talked about, the quarterback position. But I can see somewhere in the 5-7 win range. At 3, I would be shocked at 3. Things will really have to go bad for that to happen.
I'm going to say, what a division we're talking about. And there's going to be a dogfight in this division. Kansas City is the heavy favorite. But they are the target, too, in this division for all the teams in this division, the Raiders, the Chargers, and the Broncos. So we're going to be dogfighting in the West out here. It's going to be really good football. But the Chargers have a roster, and they're going to start Tyrod Taylor, and they're going to let Justin Herbert grow. And they're going for it. I expect the Chargers to be fighting for a playoff spot. So I can see them winning 8-9, maybe even 10 games.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow.
They
I don't
have
see
the roster.
That. I see.
I mean, JQ, as he mentioned, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa. That team definitely has the roster. There's no question about it. When you look at those bookends of the defensive end position, you look at the middle of the defense, Derwin James back there in the secondary.
Derwin James.
Haywood at the cornerback position if he's healthy. There's no question about the roster. It's just a matter of what kind of production they're going to get at the quarterback position, and that's going to be very key to their success this season if they're going to have any success. That's why it's very hard for me to predict more than 7 wins just because of the quarterback position is still somewhat suspect.
And you still got Mike Williams and Keenan Allen on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have an accurate decision maker at the quarterback position.
Yeah, but I mean, their roster is not barren. That's why I don't know if I can go 3 wins. I think they do a little bit better than that. That roster is not bad. They just need a trigger man, but
yeah,
we'll see. But I can see 6. I can see between 5 and 7 wins. 9 and 10 is you are talking about Tyrod Taylor playing out of his mind in order for that to happen.
Yeah, I see 6 to 7 wins because of the quarterback position.
Nice. I'll go with that. I'll go with that too. Absolutely, 6 or 7 wins. That's at the outside. That's the very top.
Well, we got the famous Nas on board too, man. Nas, where you been at, bro?
Hey.
You know how it is, man. Out here. How y'all doing, man? What's up, everybody?
We good, bro.
What's going on, Doc? Man, we thought you were missing, man.
I thought you were downtown riding.
Can't confirm or deny any issue like that.
Oh, man.
But now, I love it.
You're not the one who tore up the College Football Hall of Fame, did you?
Yeah, I know. You missed that boat.
Oh, man. We're just messing with you, man. It's good to hear from you, man. So we're just basically giving a quick recap as far as how many wins the Chargers would have. We've gone from 3 to Lou to 6. So we've been all over the map with that too, man. So now we are going to talk briefly about the Panthers and how they left Cam Newton off their greatest of all time poll. This is pretty interesting to say the least. Man, they're kind of trying to wipe their hands of Cam Newton if they can erase him off the whole thing. This is crazy, man. So what are your thoughts about that one, Rob?
Well, I think it was slapping the face to Cam Newton, first of all. I mean, he took the team to the Super Bowl. I know he didn't win. He was the MVP of the season. I can't think of a better quarterback the Carolina Panthers have ever had. I mean, Jake DeLone.
Jake DeLone.
I know he's from Louisiana,
Jake
but come
DeLone,
on,
man.
Man. Jake DeLone is not better than Cam Newton. Never was an MVP. It was really a slap in the face. And obviously, basically, what this tells you, there's some kind of disgruntledness with Cam Newton in our organization. It obviously did not end well, and that was just a slap in the face not to include him on that list for not being on the greatest the poll to be the greatest one of the greatest of all time for the Carolina Panthers. So, I mean, that's a true slap in the face for Cam Newton, and I think that's a poor job by that organization as far as taking care of their players and. You know, and building some kind of hey, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, watch out, man. You know, you gotta recognize that, brother. You know, this is how they're treating Cam Newton. You know, you could be next. So you gotta pay attention to that too. You know, that's so
did
that,
you say
me,
Cam Newton?
Cam Newton.
I heard that.
I'm teasing JQ about all of his drinks and his crown, but I've been up since 2 in the morning, so I'm working on fumes right now.
That man said Cam Newton. No, but that's ridiculous. He's got to be the first person. He's got to be the first
Debo
person.
Oh, Debo Samuel has a broken foot, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you late, bro. That's bad. He's got to be the first person. He's got to be the choice in the A slot. I mean, you just laid it out. Took you to another Super Bowl, NFL MVP. I mean, what he has done at the quarterback position for them as a franchise, like, you might be upset about the way things ended, but what he did for y'all as a fix y'all franchise and made y'all must-see TV for how many years with him at quarterback, come on, Carolina, man. That's just not a good look. And you're 100% right on the Teddy Bridgewater thing. Like, if they did Cam Newton like that, an NFL MVP, and don't put him in the greatest Panther poll, what can you do if you're Teddy Bridgewater to feel like, you know what, well, how do I top that? This dude has done this, 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 and this, and then he ain't in the poll. That's terrible, bro. I don't know what Carolina's doing. That's awful.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think what you have to realize here is free agents have to pay attention to those kind of things. Free
yep.
agents have to pay attention to those kind of things and what they're doing, you know, what they're doing with Cam Newton. And, you know, New Orleans obviously is a very small market, but one thing I can say about Sean Payton is he treats all of his former players well. I mean, they, you know, welcome them with open arms, the practices and everything. They spoil them. But, you know, players see those kind of things. And so when it comes to free agency, he's able to attract free agents to a small market like New Orleans because of the way he treats his players. And they're going to find that out in Carolina. If they're going to treat Cam Newton like that, the best player they've ever had, that is going to really hurt that organization going forward.
That's crazy.
You know, just because he dressed like
yeah.
Whitney Houston, they shouldn't be treating him like that.
Here we go. I knew that there was going to be a shot come about Whitney Houston, man. Go ahead, Lou.
Getting with that bodyguard.
Oh.
Well, and that might be, you guys got to ask yourself. Now, the three people I saw that they picked, I think all three of those guys are going into the Hall of Fame. And because of what Rob just said, there's some questions in my mind if Cam Newton is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I really believe that. Steve Smith, I think, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Keekly, I'm pretty sure, is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
And the other guy they picked, these guys are going to Julius Peppers, Hall of Fame. I believe those three people are going in the Hall of Fame. Cam Newton, because of different things and how things seem to be going south on him, he may not be a Hall of Famer. But the other question I got, I hate this team, and I hate them. And one of the reasons why I hate them so much is this particular situation. Why Bill Belichick doesn't think that Cam can help that team up there after Tom Brady left, why they don't even give that a look at or try, I think that goes beyond what is really what football is all about. And I really think bad things about the New England Patriots or why they're not even looking at Cam Newton. Unless we don't know, and maybe New England did approach Cam Newton, and maybe Cam Newton told New England, I'm not playing up there.
That's speculative.
I don't think that was the case, but I do think what could be the case is, let's say, you know, because a lot of people thought that maybe he would go that way with the Patriots, and he would end up being a Patriot. And if they have looked at him or they haven't wanted him, maybe other teams are now hesitant. Well, if they don't want him, then, you know, Belichick's this genius, and, you know, so maybe if they don't want him, we better not take him either. I mean, it could be one of those types of things.
It is curious to me why they don't even go that route, but a lot of things I've heard about boxing, it doesn't surprise me.
Gotcha. Hey, really quick, let's get Lou get his conversation in, and let's get Naj to add as well too. So go ahead, Lou.
Okay. So wait, repeat the question.
Yeah, I know. We've gone five different ways here. We were talking about the Panthers leaving off Cam Newton off their greatest of all time poll.
Oh boy, that's crazy. He is one of the greatest. He's probably the greatest Carolina Panthers of all time. How could you leave him off?
He is the greatest Panther of all time. I don't care what nobody says. I hear what you're saying, but he is the –
Luke Kuechly may challenge.
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly may be up there, but, you know, I'm with you, though. So, you know.
Steve Smith, Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, all those guys are great, but none of them were league MVP.
Yep.
Right.
So it's just crazy. Naj, what do you got to say?
Well, it's kind of simple, man. The Carolina Panthers are appealing to a certain segment of their fan base who hates Cam Newton's guts. This same segment of their fan base will also hate Teddy Bridgewater's guts. It's a tough thing to deal with as a franchise. It's kind of baked into the cake. A certain segment of their group was calling for Derek Anderson whenever Cam had a bad game. Like, if you listen to Carolina sports radio, it's crazy, bro. So this doesn't surprise me. This is a team kind of playing to that element. But, yeah, Cam's the greatest Carolina Panther to ever live. Like, Kuechly's great player. Julius Peppers, great players. But when we talk about the quarterback position, we always talk about how significant it is as a part of winning because they have so much control of the game. And when you look at what Cam Newton did with the lack of skilled position players, he's one of the best to ever do it, man. So, no, he's probably not going to be a Hall of Famer because it was so short with the injury kind of cutting a part of his career. But as far as New England, I think Bill likes Stidham. I think they've trained Stidham in a way to where they're comfortable with him kind of being a game manager, similar to what Tyrod Taylor's going to do out there for the Chargers. Nobody's expecting Tyrod to win a game. Nobody's expecting Stidham to win a game. They're going to be game manager guys. So I guess that's what they're doing. But with Cam, as far as him not being his sign right now, that's one of those things where it's like there's a layer cake. You got race at play. You got injury at play. You got people who want him humbled to a certain degree as far as, you know, wanting him to take certain concessions. And then you got the other part of the Carolina Panthers kept Cam Newton on and used him as leverage to bargain down Teddy Bridgewater's asking price, which is the other thing. So all of those things are at play. I wouldn't say one is more important than the other because, hell, how are we to know? But all of those things are in play with why he doesn't have a job right now. It's ridiculous, but this is the NFL. We've talked about you need change in the front office, and, you know, this is it right there in front of your face.
It is. Wow. Couldn't say it better ourselves.
Very enlightening. That was great. Naj, that was fantastic.
That's what Naj does. He brings another element. We love that. We love whenever he calls in. So hopefully, again, we don't have to send an APB out for him, man, because we have missed him and his great opinion as well. Everyone's great. Has good stuff to add.
See, look at this look at this setup for when I give a bad answer, then they can laugh. You see what I'm saying? This is a setup.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was out there burning down the damn Wendy's is what happened. That's why we couldn't find it.
Come on, man. When the compliments do, a compliment do, you know? But, yeah, we will rip into you. We will rip into you when we don't agree with you. You're right there, too.
They're pull it back. You're going to pull it back.
It's only fair.
We're going to say this next question. We're going to let Lou start this out. Because Lou... This is apparently your squad, bro. An evaluation of quarterback Daniel Jones. You're gonna leave this off, man. So it's gonna be on you.
Ooh.
Then we go back around.
Oh boy.
So here it is. So
there was a question that I was asking last week on my show, and it was saying of the three New York State quarterbacks, that means it doesn't include Buffalo. Who was under the greatest pressure? To win, and, you know, Jones is under a lot of pressure because, you know, the Jets and the Bills, you know, have something to build on. You know, the Bills, you know, with their tremendous season last year, well, by their standards, and the Jets, despite having an awful first half of the season, came alive in the second half of the year once our quarterback got over his mono and his hallucinations after the mono. Oh, boy.
seeing ghosts. He's still seeing ghosts, by the way. Go ahead.
Sam. Yeah, Sam was still seeing ghosts.
The man had hope to do
that
to you.
But once Stanley got over that, then they started to get better. But, you know, Jones, who looked promising in the first two games, after that just collapsed and never recovered from it. And probably all because of that darn cat. So, I'm just being a little sarcastic here, but that's what because after that happened with the cat, they never recovered. So the one's got the most pressure, I think, is going to be Jones. I mean, the Giants had their worst season over 40 years last year, and he was part of the problem. So he's under the most amount of pressure. So I got to go with if Jones doesn't ship up this year, he's going to be shipped out.
It's got to be the Giants, and it's got to be the Giants because they're the gold standard in the New York State area. The Giants in football, you're just, yeah, they're cute. You know, they had Joe Namath and this, that, and the other. In Buffalo, they had the K-Gun with Jim Kelly, but then they go down. But the Giants are held to a higher standard than one of the blue bloods of the NFL, yeah, for sure, and Andre Reed. But the Giants are a blue blood of the NFL franchises, period. So if you're going to play quarterback for the Giants, you're always going to be under the most pressure if you're talking about them with the Jets and the Bills. That, to me, that's just the way
it is. I mean, I know
it's
tough to replace Eli, but, you know, that's what you got.
And you got a lot of people that felt like they overdrafted Daniel Jones in that spot.
Go ahead, Jake.
But you got to think about it, too. People feel like they overdrafted Daniel Jones in that slot. So now you've got to do that. Other people feel was overdrafted in that slot playing for the Giants as a blue blood organization in the New York area and the NFL. He will always, out of those three franchises, be under the most pressure of any of those quarterbacks.
True.
I hope you keep that knucklehead for 10 more years.
Thank you. Wow, look at Gary.
I think you saw enough from him to see some potential, though, as well. Especially early on in the season. Yes, he went kind of downhill toward the end of the season. He's a rookie quarterback and still has a learning curve to go. But I think I saw enough potential out of him to think, oh, maybe this pick was justified, when initially I didn't think it was justified at the number stand. I definitely don't think the Giants will get rid of him after this season if he's still not having a successful season, doesn't take him to the playoffs in year two. I don't think that expectation is there for the Giants here this year. It's not like the Browns, but I think the Browns have actually built quite a bit around Baker Mayfield. Giants still got a long way to go to rebuild that roster. And they're not a playoff team just yet, regardless of what kind of season Daniel Jones had. He's got Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley. He's got Golden Tate. And, that team has got a long way to go. Offensive line is atrocious. They got a long way to go to improve that offensive line. That defense still has a lot of work. That organization got a long way to go before they're in the playoffs. So they're going to give Daniel Jones some time to develop, but also they got to have time to build a roster around Daniel Jones too. I think there's enough there to see some type of potential with Daniel Jones to where they can have some kind of long-term success, but they have to build a roster around him.
Daniel Jones, they reached and they saw something and they want to develop him. But like Rob just said, and it's really an indictment on that division. You're looking at the Giants and you're looking at Washington. With those two quarterbacks they have, and which one of these guys are going to pop? Which one of these guys are going to look like an NFL quarterback? And, boy, there's some gray area with both the Giants and Washington.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think the best quarterback in that division is the guy in Philadelphia. And me being a Cowboys fan, that's really abrasive to me. But until Dak beats this guy, and they got to make playoff after playoff after playoff, that's what they got to do. And that's what the Cowboys got to do. They got a division where they should dominate. And they have a division where they got to be better than Philadelphia. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I don't see the Giants winning more than maybe 5 games this season coming up.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean,
Nas?
Maybe.
Yeah. I think everybody's looking at this the wrong way. The expectations are in Buffalo. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He's expected to win the division and make the playoffs this year. The rest of the division is supposed to be down. This is supposed to be his time. He's basically baby Cam. I call him Cameron. That's Cameron Newton. That's what I call him. He's essentially the white version of him. You know what I mean? Elite, big guy.
I call him big arm.
I mean, dude, he makes big plays, and he also misses easy plays. But those big chunk plays can really hurt the defense. So I think the expectations are on him. As far as Daniel Jones, look, I'm with y'all. Like, I felt like he was overdrafted. I felt like they could have got a pass rusher and still got him later in the first round. But no matter what, they got him. But he showed, look, the dude has mobility. He's accurate. He's got to improve as far as ball protection and feeling the rush because those fumbles, like, that's not going to be acceptable. But, yeah, he's got a whole nother year before you start talking about drafting another QB or bringing in some competition. He showed well. What was the kid, Slayton, the rookie he played with, who he was throwing those bombs
Darius Slayton.
Those two got good chemistry, man. So I think Daniel Jones proved a lot of people wrong last year. Now, you know, the results weren't the greatest, but, hell, that team was what? Rebuilding and masking it under the idea that Eli could still play. So now they're doing the full rebuild as they should have done 2 years ago. So, you know, we'll see where it goes, man. But, yeah, Daniel Jones showed a lot last year, man. I'm kind of high on it.
That's curious. You know another thing that's curious about this thing? Their offensive coordinator is the old Cowboy coach.
Yeah.
And
he may not be
worth a damn, and that might reflect on Daniel Jones.
The clapper.
The clapper, yeah. Lou is not feeling that at all. Lou's like,
I thought you said crapper.
Not happy about that. No, not the crapper, the clapper, which is pretty hilarious, too. But
I like being sarcastic.
I know, we got you. The crapper, I love it, man.
The crapper.
Hey, so you had your nice little intro to that, too, man. But I agree with the Nas, too, man. Definitely. Daniel Jones, we all thought he was definitely overdrafted, but, again, he actually has proven to, be mobile as Nas was talking about, and you got some good chemistry. So, again, they're still in that rebuild. So, as much as we hate to admit, talk about the Giants, they are kind of rebuilding, and you guys did run out Eli. So it's kind of one of the situations where it's like, hey, you kind of got what you wished for, if you will. But, again, it's kind of early on Daniel Jones, but at least he does look like he has some promise. And, again, we're still hoping to see a little bit kind of like, you kind of saw with Baker Mayfield too. So as much as we hate to talk about the next squad with the Cowboys are up. And I guess the question is, will Dak Prescott's salary match his stats? So, again, we're hoping that the Cowboys are being careful because, no one's crying. They got some of them got the COVID over there, so they're okay. But, Gary, Curtis, you have the floor on this one, if you will, if you think that Dak Prescott's and his salary is going to match what he's going to produce.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about Zeke. He tested positive. And hopefully he's doing well, and no one else is, his family has been affected, and so I wish him the best with that. As far as anyone that gets it on any team, except Kraft when the Patriots. As far as – sorry, I had to throw that out there. Dak Prescott, no. I think that it's an inflated market, and he won't be where his stats are. I think he's going to get more than what he really deserves to get. He was 8-8 last year. Curtis and I have been hard on this at 8-8. He's got a lot of really good stats, but just like you guys said, stats can be inflated. And if you're always coming from behind, and obviously when you're 8-8, you're throwing the ball a lot more than running the ball. So
yeah, a ton of stats,
with that
man.
Said,
yeah,
he is going to What's that?
Yeah, man, he had one of his best statistical years last year, man. You better pay that, man.
Yeah, he did have one of his best. I broke down all of the stats, and his stats were impressive. And then, you know, I was knocked down, kicked to the curb.
That's right.
Got back up on my hands and knees, bloodied, and I said, okay, I guess you guys don't think Dak's worth a shit. But I think that I don't think he's going to be if market's inflated, I think he's a good quarterback. I want the Cowboys to pay him. I'm afraid he's going to get more out of the deal than what he deserves, slightly more. But I think he's going to get more. Curtis, what do you think?
Well, you know, Nas brought up. He brought up that quarterback in Buffalo. He brought up that quarterback at the New York Jets. And talking about Daniel Jones. You know, on Thanksgiving, that boy in Buffalo is eating turkey, and I'm getting sick to my stomach. And then they lost to the Jets. I'm not looking at stats. Stats don't mean anything. When you don't beat Philadelphia, when they had 36 people off the bench and off the streets, Dak didn't score enough points against New Orleans. He didn't score enough points against that Philadelphia team. Quarterbacking is about, and for Dak and the Cowboys, it's about winning that division over and over and over again. I don't care what kind of stats you got. If you're not winning that division, Jimmy Garoppolo and that boy in Tennessee, their stats wasn't great, but they were in championship games at the end of the year. And they went in the playoffs with not blowing up stats. And they ended up in the championship games. And one of those guys ended up in the Super Bowl. Dak, you're behind that. And Dak, that's not good enough.
You better pay me. I did all I could, man. Look at them stats. Go ahead,
Nash.
Sorry, Rob. Go ahead. I'll let Rob go to Nash. Go ahead. My bad. I forgot about you, Rob.
No, you go. I'll let Nash go. I'll come by.
Look. He might have the three best wide receivers in the league playing with him. So I think he's going to play much better than what people assume as far as how he finishes out. So if you get him on the franchise deal, you're getting him pretty much for under market value. They've been whittling him down with all this negotiating and leaking to the press. So I think they're going to get him for much cheaper than what they should. So overall, I think the Cowboys come out on top on this. They've been very aggressive with this negotiation to the point of where they're kind of embarrassing Dak to a degree, man, with how this is played out in the media. So I think the Cowboys win on this one, man. They're going to get him for much cheaper than what they should. And I think he is really going to perform just based on that wide receiver group. With, you know, health pending, Zeke in the backfield, I think Dak has a really good year. And I'm not saying that because he's great. I'm saying that because the personnel is there for him to do it.
Well, they definitely got a team around him, you know. I'm going to cut in on this for just a second. So you're thinking that he's going to be – that the Cowboys are going to get him for a bargain deal slightly, whether they franchise tag him or they give him a deal. I'm saying that if they franchise tag him, you know, it's going to be, what, 31 to 33 million, whatever it is. I think that if he signs it, I think it's going to be that 35 or 36 million a year if they sign him. That's what all the things that I've read on. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob. I cut in on that.
Well, I think he's going to get paid what the market value says he should be paid out there, but I think he's going to get paid more than what you look at from a stats perspective. I understand he's got the weapons. I understand he's got the running back. I understand he's got the offensive line. But I still don't expect him to put up Russell Wilson-type stats or Russell Wilson-type winning percentage. I still don't think he's going to put up that kind of success rate and those kind of statistics. I think he's going to get paid, but I think when it's all said and done, when you look at Dak Prescott's contract versus what he's producing on the field, I think his contract is going to be higher than probably what he's – not saying he doesn't deserve it, because that's what the market value says he should get based on the way he's played the last few years and as a starting quarterback in the league. But I think when you really look at it, he will be paid higher than probably what he's producing from a winning percentage and what he's producing from a statistical standpoint.
Well, from a winning percentage, from a winning percentage, he's 40-24. The only other quarterback since he's been a starting quarterback, including last year, is Tom Brady's got a better record, and that's it in the league.
How many playoff wins does Dak Prescott have?
Okay, he's got one.
But I didn't know he had one.
One. He's got one.
He's got one.
Mm-hmm. And he beat Russell Wilson.
But Russell Wilson also has a chip. Here's the thing about it, and I know that this is where I always start the controversy on it, is that just because people have made other bad decisions and inflated the market doesn't mean that you should also make a bad decision. I think Dak is a good quarterback. I don't think he's great. But just because Jared Goff got paid prematurely and wrongly and Garoppolo's looking like he's getting overpaid and Winston's gotten overpaid doesn't mean you have to overpay Dak. At some point, somebody, and it might be Dallas, that says, you know what, we're taking a stand. We're not going to do what everybody else did just because that's what the market says it should bear. I mean, I think he should get paid a decent amount, but should he make $40 million a year? Hell no. That's crazy talk. To go 8-8 than what he just did last year. I just don't agree with that. They got to find some middle ground, and I think this is where we're getting to right now with the quarterback market, where owners have to be willing to say, you know what, I might take a loss on this dude. He might go somewhere else and ball out. But right now, he's not worth this kind of money. Just, like I said, just because Goff and Wentz and those other guys got overpaid and they're not doing it, and they shouldn't get paid the money they're getting paid, doesn't mean you make another bad decision and overpay Dak Prescott. I still own that. I'm always for the players getting their money when they deserve it. Don't get me wrong. But just because Slacker A and Slacker B got paid doesn't mean that I should get paid, even though my numbers in terms of championships and Super Bowl appearances and NFC Championship game appearances be damned. Like, don't get crazy and overpay a dude just because the dude in your division is overpaid as well. I just don't agree with that. I just don't.
Yeah.
Lou, you about to say something?
No, I was just agreeing, actually.
Mm-hmm. So,
thank you, somebody.
I do really – yeah, I'm with you. I'm right there with you, too, JQ. We're going to ask you, JQ, really quickly because we're kind of wrapping up the live portion. And just a really quick, brief synopsis on this because we really have to get to some awesome topics. Will the Major League Baseball have a season? Will we have a Major League Baseball season, JQ?
I think they have to have a season because I think everybody else is going to have a semblance of a season, and they can't be the only league that doesn't have one because they can't come to agree when millionaires and billionaires can't agree. The MLB offered a 60-game season. The players union offered a 70-game season. You meet in the middle of 65 and you go forward.
Here it is.
Sound like you need to be the mediator, JQ.
I'm just saying,
yeah, that was pretty good.
If 61 and 70, just meet in the middle of 65 and play ball. Like, you cannot not have a season when everybody else is going to play. That's stupid.
I think at some point they do reach an agreement and have a season. I totally agree. It doesn't look good right now, but I think at some point both the owners and the players get smart about this situation. Hey, we got to get our brand back out there. We have to get our product back in front of our, you know, fan base. We have to get out there in front of the, you know, please our television network agreements too. So you want Fox, you want ESPN, everybody that's broadcasting your games, you want to make them happy too as well. You want to be able to get those long-term TV contracts. We don't know how long we're going to be in this pandemic. You go back to the Spanish flu when that started in 1918. Matter of fact, Andre, I got pictures of a Georgia Tech football game from the pandemic back way back then with everybody wearing masks in the stands. I have to send that to you. But excuse me for changing the subject there. But if you go back to the Spanish flu, the last big pandemic we've had, That pandemic lasted people. From 1918 to 1920, almost 2 years. So we don't know how long we're going to be in this situation. And from a Major League Baseball standpoint, hey, they got to get their product out in front of their fans here. You want to at least get your TV contracts. You may not have fans for two seasons here. I mean, the NBA is practically already – yeah, the NBA is practically came out already. Obviously, you know what their plans are to finish this season, but they practically already say we're not going to have fans in 2020-21 season either. And so from a television standpoint, they have to get their product and get that revenue out there from television networks in order for them to even be making money at all. So they will be smart to resolve their issues, get their product in front of the fans, get back on television, and have some kind of revenue stream coming in for them. Because you won't have fans.
And just quickly, baseball has just signed an extension with TBS, I think, starting in the 2021 season. So the
yes,
owners crying broke. They just signed another agreement with TBS
Liar.
To extend that contract. So you can't say that we're broke when you just signed another agreement with TBS.
Liar.
Like they I'm with you, Rob. You're right. You got to get back on the field. Come on.
Yeah, broke by you know what.
Right. And I think leagues are going to start reevaluating the process of approving ownership. The idea that you're bringing in certain groups who are basically backed by loans and are kind of everything is kind of on a shoestring budget, but you can't let those guys in your league no more, man. That like if you're not in it to win and this is like some recreational thing that you really really love and are into, like look, if you want to go make money, get into real estate. You know, get in the tech, get in the, you know.
Careful, my husband's in real estate.
If your bottom line or your profit margin is that thin, you shouldn't be involved in recreational activities like baseball, basketball, or whatever. Because
right now,
that's what's holding us up. Some of these, you know, new money hedge fund guys who come in and they're looking at the balance sheet and can't see 10 years forward. Like, dude, you're in the midst of a special moment where you have baseball with no fans that people are going to talk about for the next 50 years. Like, yeah, man, 1 year, we didn't even get to go to the games. We just had to watch them. We were at home quarantined. We didn't have nothing to watch, so we watched the hell out of the game. Like, they're missing that whole moment because they're still looking at the balance sheet, and they're so focused on crushing the players at the table that no deal can be done. If you're going to get a deal, both sides have to feel a little bit good about it. We can't walk away from the table feeling like one side got robbed. So, I mean, they got to be held to account, man. Like, this is getting out of control.
The best compromise I've ever heard, a compromise is when both sides don't feel like they got what they wanted. That's the best way you
can
get what they did.
That's called negotiations, when both parties feel a little bit of pain.
Yeah,
that's what it takes now because nobody's budging.
It takes some give and take in order to reach some type of agreement.
Especially
in
this situation that we're in.
All give and all. If you're walking in the room saying all give and we'll take, like that's a different story, man. Like, just look at these proposals, man. This is ridiculous. What are we getting coupons for Mike Trout at bat? Like, come on, man. Like,
this
is a professional game, bro.
Talk to you next week, guys.
Yep. Well, I think for Major League Baseball, once again, they got to look at their product. They got to look at the long term of their organization. Hey, from a player standpoint, if you still want to make millions, you got to come up with agreement. The owners, if you still want to make billions from being an owner of a Major League Baseball team, you got to come up with an agreement. Hey, you got to come up to the bargaining table and come up with agreement. You got to get your product out there, but. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning into our live portion of the show. We're going to go right into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion live. Click on the same link and you can get the rest of the show the rest of this week. So once again, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, take some time out, click on the same link, get the OT portion of the show. We still got more football. We got some NBA to talk about. We got some college football, all in our OT portion. So click on the same link and get the rest of the show, people. Good night. Next week, we're going to be back to our normally scheduled time of Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next week on Wednesday night, June 24th. We look forward to having you all call in and ask some great questions for us. Good night, people.
Yeah, Dre did it for me. He knew I was going to go to baseball. Get your itch together and get a damn season. 60, 70, 65 games, get on TV, let's play some ball. My team is trying, actually trying to have a decent team. Come on, man. Let's play some baseball. Let's get some TV together. I agree with everybody that says you're missing.
We need some sports, people. We need sports.
Yes, we do.
Well, I'm going to say this.
I'm watching NASCAR.
My last thing, too. Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say, that's a whole other conversation, too, JQ. Being the art of negotiation, the art of negotiation, this is definitely something that I'm familiar with as far as in my career. You have a win-win, you have a lose-win, and you have a lose-lose. So basically, whenever you come to the negotiation table, these are the three outcomes you're trying to get. You know, so a lot of times you're going to have that win-win, both sides are compromised. Hey, we both agree to this. That's what's called a win-win. That's what we're trying to get baseball to do. You can have a lose-win. One side feels like, hey, we came, you know, this is what we got. Other side feels like they're screwed. Then you have a lose-lose where both people did not get what they wanted. You know, we've had these deals happen for the future, too. So, again, that is the full art of negotiation whenever you're trying to approach that table, too. So just want to make sure that we are clear on those statistics, if you will, too. So I know we got a limited amount of time here. We got 30 minutes to get through these last couple of topics. I do want to talk briefly about this is a lot. I'm kind of interesting to see about Colin Kaepernick because we're kind of in a charged situation in the United States. Happy Juneteenth to everyone on the call. Appreciate you guys. It's been interesting to see the states
here.
And what's happening. It's a unique thing. So now what's happening, you know, with society, Colin, I know he's doing some things. So I don't know if he really wants to be back in the NFL, but do you think there's a possibility for him to be signed? And I think, you know, we kind of like crapped, not we, but he's been crapped on, and now he's like, yo, he's making a nice little comeback here. So you talk about an amazing story. So I'm going to let you guys kind of get your thoughts on that too, and then we'll talk about the NBA here. We'll talk about, you know, about the championship. And I do want to talk about the best father-son duo in the league as well, man. So I want to hear that. And, you know, I don't think it's the ACC to take Clemson down, but, you know, that's my thoughts. But go ahead, Rob.
The Colin Kaepernick situation, right now I think the NFL is trying to right a wrong. I have a gut feeling that even though it may be hard to sign someone that's been out of the league for 4 years, I think the NFL, somebody, what did I say, five?
No, you said four. I'm agreeing with you, four.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, for somebody, it's going to be hard for someone to be out of the league for 4 years to get signed and play quarterback in the National Football League, but I think the NFL is trying to right a wrong here. And you heard Roger Goodell say a couple of years ago he's encouraging an NFL team to sign him. Obviously, they're trying to right a wrong here in this situation. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think somebody's going to take a chance at him. I don't know. I think Kansas City, Andy Reid, hey, go ahead and get your backup for Patrick Mahomes. Get your mobile quarterback, someone with a strong arm. You know, I don't think he's definitely not going to be a starter in the league, but I think you got a right or wrong here. I think that's what the NFL is trying to do here, give him an opportunity. And, I mean, there's no rumors of the Chiefs signing him. I just thought that might be a good situation for him. I mean, who's the Chiefs' backup quarterback right now? Is Matt Moore? Who was the backup for him last year when Mahomes got her?
Who knows?
It was Matt Moore last year.
Yeah. And Matt Moore was solid in some of those games as a backup, but come on. You give Colin Kaepernick a chance. I think it'll be a good fit. You know, Andy Reid gave Mike Vick a chance in Philadelphia after his situation. I think this would be a good opportunity to right a wrong. And first of all, Colin Kaepernick didn't do anything wrong. And so this is an opportunity to right a situation here that should have been righted a long time ago. And the Chiefs are just one team that I thought about I would like to see. Obviously, Andy Reid give him a chance to back up Patrick Mahomes.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'll
give me a quick second, Nigel, I'll let you go. I just don't think it's going to happen because what you just talked about was going to be my first point. 4 years now, and now we're talking about where we got into a crazy point with the NFL where you have more quarterbacks available than what you really need, as you so to speak, because Cam Newton still doesn't even have a job. And he's played here in the recent future. Now you're talking about getting Colin Kaepernick a job and Cam Newton doesn't have one. I just don't think that fan base and those owners are going to go with that. And my last point about it is that as much as I would love to see him back in the league, if he doesn't come back as the second coming of Joe Montana, all those people that held all those grudges against him will come back and say, yep, see, I told you he wasn't no good. And then his message is going to be killed in the fact that he hasn't played in 4 years, and they're not going to give him any slack and any grace or warm-up period. If he has to go in the second game because somebody twisted an ankle and he doesn't look like people think that he's supposed to look, even though he's 4 years removed, then people are going to go right back to that old well of when all this stuff blows over to them in terms of the Black Lives Matter and the social conscious movement that we're in. They're going to go right back to the same old try-hard conversations of, I told you he wasn't no good. He was only doing this because he wasn't no good. That's my fear for Colin Kaepernick, and that's why I don't feel like he's going to get signed.
I tell you what, if a team doesn't sign him to be a quarterback, I think if the NFL was smart, they would hire him in the NFL front office. They will hire him to be a part of a coalition to help improve race relations within the NFL. And, you know, have the NFL to join the Black Lives Movement. I think they need to hire him in some form or fashion to help out with race relations here in the U.S. as well as in the league. I think if the NFL was smart, if he's not a quarterback, I think the NFL needs to create a position for him along those lines.
Yeah, the only thing is he's not Jay-Z, so I don't think he'll take a check like that. But this is the reality. it is what it is. Some people told me, no, Jay-Z is playing chess. I was like, no, Jay's taking a check to be a sucker, and it is what it is. But overall, the dynamic flip. The NFL needs Colin. He doesn't need the NFL. His organization has gotten more donations, money, volunteers, and it's expanded in a way that nobody could have predicted after all of this happened. So he actually just has the chance to just be a humanitarian and an activist. So if he decides to play football, it will be to the NFL's benefit for him just deciding to try out for any team. Like, they need him. He doesn't need them at this point. They've been proven to be the, you know, hypocrites, liars, and racists that they actually are. And they let this situation become what it was. And the reality of it is, if they weren't so pig-headed and raggedy in their decision-making, if they would have just let him play, none of this would have been a problem. You know why? Because the people that hate him, they would have tuned in just like the people that loved him. They would have watched the beginning of the game to see if he kneeled again, got on social media and fired him up, and then they would have kept watching football. Like, all that, those threats of people, well, I'm not going to watch football no more. Yes, you will. The ratings prove that you were lying. You were going to watch football. So I don't know, man, because Colin has a lot of big responsibility on his shoulders now, man. That Know Your Rights campaign organization that he started, it's big now, man. I'm talking like huge donors dropping checks on him. So how do you walk away from that? So I don't know, man.
Wow.
Well, you're on fire. You're on fire tonight. I feel like that was spot on. I do feel that the NFL needs him desperately, and he really doesn't need the NFL. I would, as an NFL football fan, and seeing what that man did, taking the stand like that he did, and being, you know, he put himself in that position to, you know, for the, you know, the Black lives. And in the injustice. And I am so grateful that he's in the position that he's in right now, where he will have a choice. And I hope he has the choice to become, you know, an NFL quarterback again if he wants to. But it wouldn't surprise me if, just like you indicated, Naj, that, you know, he's got this big responsibility now. I think he's the guy that can handle it. I think he's the guy that's, you know, kneeled, didn't stand up. He kneeled down, and, you know, he had this career where he was a excellent quarterback in the league, and he, you know, took that stand and got blackballed from the league because of it. And now we've got the NFL in our lifetime. None of us have seen a sport, you know, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey. I've personally never seen or heard of a, you know, an organization like those just completely backpedaling on what their original stance was with the guy. So I think that's fantastic. And he does. He has them right by the balls. And that's fantastic for him. So my hat's off to him. I wish him well. I hope he's happy, and I hope he gets whatever he wants out of this, because he started a movement that is global now.
Yeah.
Well, and also, and that's the argument for the NBA too. You don't have platforms like this. Colin Kaepernick has a super platform with or without the NFL. And I hope he takes the leadership role in that platform he has. And this cannot be a thing that goes away. This has got to be a thing that needs to be talked about for Kaepernick's whole life, if he's in football or not. And
yeah, I think it'll be.
He's turning into a hero, and it doesn't really need to be because he's on the field.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's changed now. What's happened now has changed it. It definitely has changed his whole legacy now that this is shifted back towards him after being rebuffed and thrown out of the league. I think that has solidified his legacy in the NFL, regardless of whether he plays another down or not. My only thing about that is if he gets back on there, all those naysayers that didn't capture and didn't want to look at what he was trying to do in terms of the kneeling, which were only focusing on what they feel like he is in terms of a player on the field. If he gets on there and now he's 4 years removed from playing and he doesn't come back and start zipping passes and winning games with fourth quarter drives, they're going to be all in his ish. I personally would rather him, what Rob said, be an ambassador and help keep growing the awareness around it and do it that way. Because if he gets back on the field and he's not freaking Tom Brady, they're going to tear him apart, and I don't want that.
One thing I want to say,
and his message might be lost too as a result of that too.
Correct.
One thing I want to say, and I want to talk about our region, and I want to talk about where we're talking from. What was it, 2 years ago, Nike embraced him? And what I hear is what Nike did with him increased Nike's stock. And, man, was that really good news that Nike used him in a way that put him in the spotlight again and increased their stock. How proud I am that Nike did that. And Colin, he's not that navigator. He's not the Muhammad Ali kind of warrior that I, grew up with. He's doing a leadership thing that I it's not loud and it's not something I'm used to, but I got to go with and see what he's doing because he was right. He's always going to be right. And that is a really good thing.
Yeah. 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 I think we've all nailed it on the head too. What an interesting topic. And it's tough because I think if he did get it, now's the time to get back in the league, but you do hope that it doesn't mess up his message. I also on this Marcy today, man, I was like, if you're the Falcons, you sign somebody, if you have enough balls, if you sign him, that would be huge. Just to, again, you kind of get back that groundswell like we had with Michael Vick. But, obviously you don't hope it doesn't, taint the message that Colin's trying to say, too. But, I don't know. It's definitely a catch-22. So, Colin is his – it's good to see that he is actually getting back and kind of getting some get back to the NFL for what has happened, too. So, but, maybe he's in a better place for sure.
I'm getting a jersey, too.
Nice. I love the fact
yeah.
that
We're going to talk about the best father and son combo in sports history. There can be a lot. I was a huge fan of this is a baseball bridge. I was a baseball reference. I was a huge fan of Ken Griffey Jr. So I just love, you know, Griffey's, and I know that's an homage to you, JQ, but just that father-son was just amazing for me because I was a huge fan of Junior. So
I had
that's
poster.
Me. Yeah, me too, man. The both they were back, man. I was
man,
a huge
man,
fan
that,
of Junior,
that,
man.
That Seattle
so,
poster? Come on, baby. You know I'm
yeah, born. It was just, it was great, man. So that's just me. Go ahead, JQ. Go ahead. What do you got, man?
You already said it. You knew where I was going. You knew exactly where I was going. I had that poster. I still have a Griffey Seattle Mariners jersey. I will wear it on one of these Zoom calls. But and you know how Griffey Sr., what he means to me in terms of the big red machine. But
oh, yes.
Them coming together, and they went back-to-back home runs, and that Seattle game, listen, man, I'm going with the Griffey's. I know I'm fully tainted and biased, and I will leave the floor to everybody else, but I'm definitely going with the Griffey's, no doubt.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the two that came to mind for me was Ken Griffey Senior and Junior definitely came to mind, and of course Archie and Peyton Manning was the other one that came to mind for me as the best father and son combo. Not really including Eli because I still think Eli is slightly overrated, but
oh my God,
I think Ken Griffey Senior, Ken Griffey Junior, Archie and Peyton were the two father and son combination that came to mind for me.
For me, there's nothing overrated with beating the Patriots on an undefeated season they was running up on. And then
that was Michael Strahan
won
that Super Bowl.
There's nothing overrated. There's nothing overrated when you beat the Patriots in this run that they have. There is nothing overrated about that.
And
boy,
did Eli
that
Manning
boy,
ever have a look
boy,
on his face
boy,
like he knew what he was
nine
doing?
Nine Super Bowls,
no,
and
not.
Two of them, and that boy's lost three Super Bowls, and two of them were to Eli.
Did Eli Manning ever have a look on his face that gave you the impression that he looked like he knew what he was doing?
Oh my
nope.
God.
Well, but the result is what. The result is what I need.
He just threw that ball up
and
for grabs.
And I didn't need. And I didn't need
came down with it.
Yeah, and I didn't need the Patriots
oh my God.
To have an undefeated season and a Super Bowl victory. I really didn't need that. I didn't need the Patriots to have the golden rail. Because right now it's still Miami with the golden
yep.
with the golden season.
That's right. That's right.
The Giants
I didn't need,
won
I
that
didn't
Super
need
Bowl.
That. I didn't need that. And so
with
that
Michael
boy was
Strahan
there.
And human urine was on Brady's ass.
It's always a team effort. But how many touchdowns did how many touchdowns did Strahan have in that game?
Oh.
How many did he prevent the Patriots from getting?
At least
five or six.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
Yeah, how many prevented New England from getting was about five or six.
How many did he get? How many did he get for his
offense?
Like I said, there's nothing overrated what they did and what he was the leader. You know, the face of a franchise is usually a quarterback. And he went face to face. Matter of fact, Tom Brady is the GOAT. Has the GOAT beat Eli Manning in any Super Bowl?
Wow. Oh my gosh. Nice.
Nice. But look, y'all took all the good ones off the board, so I got to go off board. I don't know how far y'all rank these. So the Curry family, Steph and Dell. The Norton family.
I thought about
Ken Norton Sr., the heavyweight boxer,
yeah.
and his son, the linebacker.
That's a good
49ers.
One. That's a good one. I like
and
that
then,
one better than the Curry.
The Earnhardt.
The chief applause one is Joe Jellybean Bryant and Kobe Bryant.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Now, you know what's interesting? I thought about Dale and Steph Curry. I really did. I thought about putting them up there. And even when I looked at Archie and Peyton, you know, Dale wasn't nowhere near as good as Steph was. But Archie wasn't nowhere near as good as Peyton was either. So I thought about putting Dale and Steph in that conversation too, because I thought they were kind of close to the same level. But I didn't even think about Butterbean Bryant and Kobe. That's a good one. And, of course, the Nortons is a really good one too. So I didn't even think
about
those two.
Dale Senior and Dale Junior and NASCAR.
That's a big one too.
NASCAR kind of show, but that's a really good one though. The Earnhardts are pretty good.
Put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Real quickly, you know, being up here, I saw Ken Griffey when he was in Seattle play maybe almost 10 times. But my favorite time with Ken Griffey, I was getting off of work at the airport with Delta Airlines. I'm heading out to the bus, and lo and behold, I walk out and I run into Ken Griffey Jr. And at the airport, I had about an hour conversation with Ken Griffey Jr. about all kind of stuff. The guy was kind of a regular guy. There was no entourage around him. He was just standing right there at the airport when I got off. And he was approachable and talked to him. And I actually did that. I actually met him, talked to him, just like it was nothing to it. And that's really special for me. He wasn't stuck up, and he wasn't unapproachable. He was a cool guy.
Y'all made my evening. Because you know I'm all in on the Griffies.
Yeah, that's my dude, man. I was a fan. Just great, man. And, aside, I ran into John Legend at the airport in Louisiana, too, before he blew up, and he was just a cool guy, too, man. So same thing, man. So that's crazy.
How tall is he, about 4'11"?
He's pretty short, man. He is pretty short. That's another thing, too.
God damn, not 4'11".
He is that short. He's probably about 5 foot. He's pretty short, though. It's kind of unbelievable. All right, gentlemen, so for the last 10 minutes, I'm going to let you guys talk about any topic that you want to talk about on the board. Because we got like a little amount of time. I know Rob is still staying up the whole night. So you can pick your last topic. You guys can see in the chat. Naj, you want to talk about that, or you want us to give you a thing to not just, you can say whatever you want to talk about, the floor will be yours. So I'll let you kind of start off, JQ, and go from there.
Oh, when we hit, you know, I was going to go to baseball because they've been killing me. Outside of that, I would say hats off to Chuba at Oklahoma State for calling his coach out and making Oklahoma State come immediately and have to have a reconcile video, and then have Mike Gundy have to do another video for wearing the Owen shirt. Again, capturing the moment, the movement of what's happening, and being able to actually use it for good and not just frivolous kind of things. Because I always felt like Mike Gundy was a really sleazy kind of dude, and I feel that same way about Dabo, but that's a whole other conversation. But in this moment of him being able to take him to task and having the Oklahoma State administration have to acknowledge it and come out and make Mike Gundy get up off his arse wherever he was and get on video and apologize and make the media rounds and be held accountable to somewhat to agree. I still think he got off really lightly, but he didn't get to be able to get off all the way. I was really pleased with that, and I love these young dudes using these platforms, what they have on social media, to hold people accountable, and I just take my hats off to him for holding Mike Gundy accountable for his actions. I really do.
Very well spoken. Awesomeness. Yeah. I agree with Nash, man. You can't let you want this to be definitely a movement, not a moment. That's what I keep talking about. So, and even as a black person, we're still like, we're not sure, because a lot of things happen. Like, I didn't think this was going to happen. Like the Aunt Jemima stuff and the Uncle Ben's. This is, it's going to go to the Redskins. That's going to happen too, because everyone's aware now.
Wait,
so
about
we got to like
the
keep
Gators.
That going. Go ahead.
The Gators can't even use the Gator Bait chant no more, and UVA had to get rid of their new logo because they had on the swords on the logo, they had the serpentine wall, which to me was a little too far in terms of making them change that, because if you weren't really looking closely, you wouldn't have saw it. But the fact that you can make that kind of change for something that small right now is amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. It is amazing. I mean, I'm thinking of that Ole Miss.
Gundy, a lot of things, man. He's always been a raggedy racist. He's gotten over based on I have no idea why. The record doesn't even speak for it. I feel like Dabo's the same type of guy, but since Dabo's one of the greatest coaches to ever do it, Dabo's going to have a job. Matter of fact, if you run him out of there, it'll be a bidding war for him somewhere else. He's that talented.
Mm-hmm.
But Gundy, on the other hand, you paying a mediocre racist? Like, man, get this dude the hell up out of here, man. He should have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
He should not be in charge of young men. Like, that is crazy. Like, imagine if Lovie Smith, because we're talking about a dude with a mullet, right? So imagine if Lovie Smith came out at next year's press conference with full long OG braids down, you know, going down his head first, and then with a Louis Farrakhan T-shirt. You think people would just be like, oh, okay, well, I mean, that's just his opinion. No, they'd be like, dude, you got to go. What are you doing? They run him up out of there. Same thing should happen to Gundy, man. I'm a man. I'm for it. Well, you should be fired. That's what you should be.
There it is. Man, good stuff. Good stuff. Whew. Curtis, Gary, what you got?
Well, the only thing I would say is, you know, listening to Naj tonight, I thought he was spot on and so many points. And also Rob and pretty much everybody. And as I'm listening to the show, I'm thinking, you know, we've got to do some advertising and we've got to promote our podcast. So I want to talk to you guys about doing that. How can we promote this podcast and make our viewership boom? What can we do? What do you guys see us do? I know Curtis and I, we have cards that we pass out, and I'm also making magnetic signs for my card. I'm kind of trying to design them right now, and when I get what I want up, I'll send it out and so you guys can see it and see if there should be any tweaks. But what's your take on this? Because what you guys are, you know, how this whole thing is presented, the format that we have, I think is outstanding, you know, the roundtable discussions that we have. So what's your thoughts on promoting this? You were going to say something, Rob.
Well, I appreciate the passion. I really do. And when Andre and I first started this, I can't even remember the year we started it, Andre. You recall? Was it 2011, 2012?
2011.
And I can say that in the very beginning, Andre and I was real passionate about getting it out there, and I think somewhere along the lines, I think we, and at least I can speak for myself, I don't know if I can speak for Andre, but I think somewhere along the lines, I'm not going to say we got discouraged, but I think we lost it from an advertising perspective, really pushing it and getting it out there. I mean, I used to do email blasts, text message blasts, posts, and we were doing all of – I was even actually calling radio networks, shopping our show and things of that nature. I don't know if you remember that, Andre, way back.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was even calling radio shows and having them to listen to us and see if they could pick us up and things of that nature. And somewhere along the lines, like I said, I don't want to speak for Andre, but I think, you know, I'm not going to say I lost hope. I just, you know, got somewhat discouraged and just stopped doing it. I mean, dude, I love doing the show with you guys every single week. So I really appreciate that, Gary. And we really need to go back and revisit that and really start getting our show out there and really pushing it. And I mean, that's exactly what we need. We need to get that fire back and get out there and, you know, really push it again.
No, No, it's not your fault. No. I mean, I think timing is everything, and I think that's something that I'm glad you brought that up too, Gary, because I know, like, I was like Rob, and I was telling everyone, I was like, yo, we got to get this. I was posting it on Facebook. We're getting, like, good feedback, and everyone liked it. And there's some things that Blog Talk had done to kind of, like, shut us down, and not, like, shut us down like that, but they were just, like, made it hard. So now there's some monetization things that are actually out there now. And I think, again, we can be like Colin. Hopefully some things can kind of come back around and look to our favor. So I think we have a great show. I think we have a pretty awesome dynamic with the crew. Adding JQ has been fantastic. And then obviously adding you and
you, Curtis, and Gary's been kind of fun too. So I know we'll probably do some things to make it a little bit more streamlined for certain things, but, you know, we get like a lot of comments. It's entertaining. It's a great show. So we got to continue to keep that going, I would say, from that perspective, for sure.
I got a good network, and I've not been doing a good job of promoting it, and I promise off this conversation tonight I will do a better job.
I think offline we probably, all of us need to sit down some kind of way, whether it be Zoom, conference call, or some kind of way we meet all in person. I know we're supposed to be practicing social distancing. I think we can still do that. And just sit down and put our minds together and really get that fire back and see what we can do to get it out there and maybe see if promote it from getting more callers, more listeners, but also promote it from the standpoint, hey, we still would like for somebody to actually pick the show up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I missed an opportunity probably about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, in Vancouver, B.C. They had this two-week centorium, and it was all about podcasting, how you start them, how you keep them, what you have to do. They had all these different workshops and all these different speakers and all these different things. It cost a little money. It might have been $500 or something like that. And they had a lot of free seminars, too, in that. It would have been a great trip for me, and I would have learned a lot, and I was looking into it, but I can't remember exactly what happened and why I didn't make that trip and why I didn't go up there for that thing. But if I see another one of those things somewhere, I'm definitely planning to hit something like that so I can learn a whole bunch of the ins and outs. And because this podcasting is a wide open thing. And I've seen some things in the sports and in the news and in the mysteries. And one of the things I see up here in Portland, some of the biggest podcasters are these guys doing these murder mystery things that have made the news years ago. And they get in, and they get a lot of people want to follow them. I don't know what the curiosity is, but I think there's something to that that has a lot of people's attention and their curiosities when you go into the murder mystery thing. I'm not one of them. I don't need to do a murder mystery. I really don't. But,
let's figure out, maybe on Monday or Tuesday, we can, send a Zoom invite out and make it convenient for all you guys on the East Coast early in the evening, right after dinner, and just do like a little half an hour Zoom, kind of get some thoughts down. And we think about doing that on either Monday or Tuesday of this week and just kind of seeing where we can take this.
I'm sorry, you guys. I forgot my paperwork on the Belmont Saturday. And there's four horses that got a chance.
Okay.
Yeah, there's four horses that got a chance. Okay, I'm going to give you guys this tip. If you guys look at the odds and you see the horses that might can place, if you put three or four horses in the show spot and they come in, you have three ways to win on a horse that you believe in and put them in that show spot. If they win, you get paid. If they place, you get paid. And if they show, you get paid.
Wow. I don't even know. That's awesome. Well, like I said, hey, whatever we can do, I love it, man. I think we should definitely strike while the iron is hot, especially since everyone's loving black people right about now. So now is the time to to get that message out there too, man, if we're having the niche, because that's something we'll talk about on the Zoom, because what's that unique selling proposition that makes us different from all the other podcasts is another question too. So, you know, again, I know we have this camaraderie. We've been going for a minute, me and Rob, since the first time we're starting out, and it's been a good ride, man. So I'm looking forward to the next steps. I'm glad we have other people there to kind of like carry that, say, let's figure this out too. Because I know me and Rob are both like, you know, we thought this was a great show. We were going ham. If you listen to the first couple episodes, it was just me and him, just kind of like, hey, what do you think about this? And I still have fond memories about that show. So, you know, again, just it's been great to hear that. And it's great to have, you know, obviously Curtis and Gary jump on, and Naj as well too. Man, you know, Naj is great too. So, you know, it's I feel like definitely the point guard kind of makes sure everyone stays in line. So we'll have to kind of keep things going here as we get more and more people calling in. But I think the sky's the limit for sure, man. So I'm excited. So there you go. Woo! Yeah, we got to trim it down. I know. Four black dudes with Naj.
I love it.
You guys get some sleep. You guys get some sleep.
Yeah,
one of the things I think.
Y'all do a good show, man. That's why I call in. It's just, you know,
yeah,
schedule stuff.
But you guys.
Yeah, we got
you.
Hey,
you guys get some sleep. One of the things
you
I think that got me in trouble with what I'm going through is the fact that I didn't do a lot of sleeping. And sleep is important, you guys. Sleep is a healthy thing. Not sleeping is not a healthy thing. Believe me.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm just having fun. But yeah, no, I think we're on the same page with that. And I think that, as you said, that sleep is if you don't get enough sleep, then that's whenever you get sick too. So we're on the same page. I feel like Ron Burgundy right now. So forgive me guys too, but we're having some fun. For the East Coasters, before the Blog Talk lady cuts us off again, we'll talk to you guys same time, same channel next week. I'm not on Zoom, so I was taking the puppy out, so maybe we'll get that down in the future. Again, we didn't see you guys tonight, but it's going to be the exact same link. If I need to adjust everything, nothing changes. That's the Zoom number. But, again, Naj, if you need that, hit me up. I don't know if you have our numbers outside of the show, man, but it's just write this down. I think I've got yours. But if I don't have you, it's just the 404-259-3284. That's me. But and then, you know, follow us and we'll have some fun, man. So we have a good time. So that's it. Anything else?
What's
you want to end the show?
What's the last four? Hey, before we get off, what's the last four of the Zoom number? What's the last four?
The last four. Hold on, let me take a peek here. Because nothing actually changes with this. Yeah, yeah. Give me 2 seconds here, because it doesn't really change. I just popped in. I was taking the putt for a walk.
Okay,
so that four is the last four is 3653. You talking about the meeting password?
Yeah.
3653 is the last part of that. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be
good
from that perspective. All right, like I said, so guys, that number, that Zoom stays the same. Naj, I'm going to text that to you as well. So if you have that, if you ever want to pop and see us, because, again, I know we'll be sporting our each week we have different jerseys and everything like that too. So, you know, I had a chance to see JQ in his Cincinnati gear representing the Reds, and then I don't know what the hell Rob was wearing. I think he was wearing some North Carolina or something. I don't know. He kind of pops in and out doing asparagus stuff. But, yeah. We definitely have some fun. I'm giving Rob a hard time, though.
Gary and I had Portland Trail Trailblazer gear on today.
See, we got to see that again. We definitely got to see you representing too. So that's what it's all about. You know, I may do the color rush. I may do something, but fun times. Rob, go ahead and this man. Is Rob on? Okay, catch you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We certainly appreciate you all for tuning in yet again. Next week, we're going back to our originally scheduled night, our normal night of Wednesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have a lot to talk about here as hopefully we're getting closer and closer to seeing some type of sports resuming here really soon. Baseball, get it together. Let's go to work.
football. Let's get your plans together here. Let's go to work. Hey, we want to see some sports.
Safely.
Obviously, we want to see it done safely as well, but we definitely want to see some sports here in the very near future. Hey, my prediction, Denver Broncos win 10 games next season. Oakland Raiders,
ooh.
7.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
That's a great season for him. All right. Good night. Good night, y'all. No, hey, listen, he knows I'm winning. Those three wide receivers with Melvin Gordon and Drew Lock, that defense, different could be a problem. It sure can. I think he's going to be the second best team in that division. Wow.
All right. Nice. All right. We'll keep an eye on that. Patriots, don't sleep on them.
Oh, goodness. I'm going to sleep.
All right, fellas. Have a good one. Good night, fellas.
Good night.
Yep, yep.
All right, y'all.